We need your prayers tonight. We have a thought on our heart. It was burning so deep in our heart this afternoon that it was as if during the afternoon service, it was as if it was being preached. And I feel like that the Lord wanted me to give it tonight. I need your prayers. We want to start in Genesis, the first chapter. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Our thought tonight is days.
Yes.
Days. God in the very beginning ordained that there would be days. He's eternal. He doesn't count time. But he knew in our frail minds that we would need to count. He realized that we would have to have a way of advancing from one space to the next because we were not eternal. And God made days. Our thought tonight on days, our main thought is, how many days do you have? How many days do you have? You want to turn to Jonah? The third chapter, now at the fourth verse, it says, "And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, 'Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown.' So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them." These people that were living in sin and living in such a way that God pronounced judgment on them, they lived that way many days. Many days. But there came a day that God pronounced judgment. And as Jonah was sent there and began to enter into the city on a certain day, and he began to pronounce judgment on the city, and he said, "You only have 40 days left. 40 days left." What is unusual about this story is the fact that they believe God. That's unusual. Today, there are many that have been told repeatedly that there's a day. There's a day coming. But they don't believe God. But these people believe God. They believed that that day was coming. They believed thoroughly that they only had 40 days left.
Yes,
they believed it to the extent that they wouldn't feed their animals. They wouldn't eat. They covered everyone with sackcloth and ashes. They humbly submitted and they said, "Maybe somehow God will change this. But we believe what he said."
Yes.
All right. Now, when they did that, God did change his mind. But I believe that God knew that from the beginning. I believe God knew that. I believe that's why he gave him 40 days.
Yeah.
If he'd have realized that they would not have repented, he would have destroyed them on the day he sent judgment. But the day that he sent judgment and pronounced it on them, he gave them 40 days. Now, that 40 days was to repent. And they repented. All right, days. How many days do we have left? How many days do we, as a nation, as an individual, how many days does the world have left? God says in the Word. Well, let's go on. Let's go to Hebrews. The 11th chapter. The 11th chapter, the 7th verse. Says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he didn't see these things yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Being warned of God, Noah was a man that was living upright on the earth, and God came to him, and he said, there's only a short time left. And I want you to build this ark, and I want you to make it a certain way, and I want you to prepare for the flood that's to come.
Yes.
Noah believed God.
Yes.
He believed him to the point that he was willing to take up that task. And as we heard this afternoon,
Amen.
Or this morning, I can't remember which, he was willing to stay in that trial for 120 years.
Amen.
He believed God, and he stayed with him for 120 years. He worked because he believed that that day was coming. He believed that God, it was going to happen just like God said it was going to happen.
Yeah.
That the earth was going to flow over with water. And he believed it with his whole heart to the place that he was willing to be scoffed at and laughed at and looked on. And he was willing to preach and bear the reproaches when people looked at him and said they didn't understand it. We don't believe that. And they reveled and they went on and on. But Noah believed him, believed God. You know, we need to believe God.
Amen.
To take him at his word, knowing that God's promises are sure.
Amen.
Noah believed him. And he was moved with fear. I'm praying that God will move with fear on every heart tonight. To put the real fear of God on your heart.
Amen.
When I got saved, I'm going to tell you, the Lord put fear on my heart.
Amen.
I had fear on my heart when I got saved. Noah moved with fear. Believed it. I surely want people to move with fear tonight. I want you to believe what I'm going to tell you tonight. You know, we hear many things in the world today that cause us to disbelieve God. Science has taken up so much of our time and so much time in school and all, telling you how this works and how that works and why this does that and how it all came to be. And it's all so logical and so, it seems like it just fits together so well. That it's hard when you sit there and you listen to man explain things, it's hard to believe God who you can't see. But you know, God has, I believe that God has touched every heart. And he's come to every heart in this world. And he showed them things that they must do. And I believe that God talks to our hearts even in the midst of those kind of places. When science takes away our belief in God. When people, crowds of people, multitudes of people, it's so hard to believe God and believe his word and believe that there is a straight and a narrow way when the multitudes are all going another way. It's hard to believe that. The devil knows that the crowds draw and the crowds have a way of seducing you and making you feel safe. Crowds do that.
Yeah.
I want to say that there are books and teachings in the land today that have made people feel very safe in sin. Safe in sin.
Yeah.
The Lord showed me, my relatives would come to me and they would say, oh, I heard this wonderful story. about this person. You know, I heard it on television, or I heard it on the radio. Or they would say, you've got to read this book. This book tells all about these wonderful experiences these people have had. All these experiences tell of how people have gone out. And it was so peaceful and so blessed and restful. And there was bright light. And it was, oh, it was a wonderful place.
Yes.
And they come back and they say, oh, I feel so good. I'm not afraid to die anymore. That's what they say.
Yes.
All right. Well, I had to pray about those things. Because most of these people that are involved in these kind of experiences have no, a lot of them have no even claim of any kind of religion. I don't have any, they don't have any religion at all. They don't claim anything. They just all of a sudden had this accident and it was so beautiful and peaceful and all. And the Lord showed me and spoke to me and said, the devil's deceiving them. He's letting them see this beautiful picture. If he showed them hell, what would they do? So he shows them this bright light. Now he can't show them heaven. He can't show them heaven. But he shows them lights and clouds and rainbows and all of these beautiful things. And it's so peaceful and restful. And it just deceives them. And they come back and they say, I'm not afraid to die. I'm sinning. I'm doing all these things. You know, I'm not religious, but I'm not afraid to die. It's beautiful. It's wonderful out there. Those are deceptions.
Amen.
That are put out in the world, that the devil has devised to be put out in the world, that he can rob of your belief in God. You begin to read those things, and I'm going to tell you, it'll twist your mind. It'll twist up your mind, and pretty soon you'll be wondering what you believe yourself. These are the kind of things that we're exposed to, and this is why we don't believe God. This is why we don't believe the thing that God has said. And I've always found it interesting that people will tell me they don't believe in hell. They don't believe in the judgment and all these things. Yet they believe that God created the heavens and the earth. There's a lot of people like that. They believe that. Oh yes, God created the heavens and the earth, but I don't believe there's a hell. Deceived.
Yes.
Deceived to the point to where God is trying to show them where they stand before him. And they believe he created the earth. They were taught that when they were a little child. But see, the devil and hell and all these things, those are harder to take. Because if they accept those things, they know where they're going.
Yes.
It's easier to erase them from my mind and say, I don't believe in those things.
Yes, right.
But I'm going to tell you, you'll believe when you get there. You know, the Lord, at one time in my experience, the Lord blessed me because I wasn't walking as close to the Lord as I needed to walk. And I was letting slackness and ease just kind of get in there. But yet I went on just professing as high as I always had. And I said, there was nothing wrong with me. I'd convinced myself there was nothing wrong with me. I was living in all the lie, and I just convinced myself. The Lord gave me a dream one night. And in my dream, I was standing outside, and all of a sudden the animals started running by. And there was all kinds of animals, just hundreds of animals and natural enemies, foxes and rabbits and all, running together, just running. And the heavens began to cloud up, and it was dark. And I looked at the person that was standing there with me, and they looked at me, and they said, I don't know what this means. What does this mean? And in my dream, I said, I don't know, but I've got to pray. And I took off running for the house, and I thought, if I can just get in there to pray. I'm going to tell you, when I woke up from the dream, I've no longer deceived myself. And said, there's nothing wrong with me. Because in that dream, it was revealed to me that if I have to pray, if something, it looked bad, it looked horrible, something was dreadfully wrong, and I knew I needed to pray, whatever was coming, I wasn't ready for it.
Amen.
The Lord chose that dream to show me. You know, I want the Lord tonight. You know, dreams are so real to us, aren't they?
Yes.
We can wake up from a dream and just be shaken. It was so real.
Yeah, that's right.
I want the Lord tonight to touch our hearts just like this is a dream. I want the Lord to make it so plain and to make it so heavy on every heart that you'll believe what it said to me. That it'll be, that you'll be moved with fear to realize that there's a day coming. Our message is day. There's a day coming. And the Lord wants to help us to be ready for it. Let's turn to Matthew, the 24th chapter, starting at the 36th verse. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Not the angels of heaven. The angels don't know when this day is.
Amen.
Jesus himself does not know when this day is. The Father only. I like to imagine in my mind that if God had a calendar that went on for years and years and years, I like to imagine in my mind that God put his big finger on a day. Way out there. In the beginning. He reached way out into the future and he put his finger on a day and he said, that's the day. There's a day coming.
Yes.
It's appointed.
Yes.
And God isn't going to change it. No one can change it. There is a day appointed. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Same, just like those days that Noah was in. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. They did all those things until that day. He had preached to them for 120 years, but on that day he entered into the ark. The days before the flood, they were eating and drinking. It sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound like today? Didn't we all eat and drink today? Haven't we heard the same message before that Noah preached to all those people? That day sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? It's going to be just like today. Just like today. Just like today, it's going to come. There's going to be a time that you eat your last meal. There's going to be a time that you say your last goodbyes to someone. There's going to be a time that you speak your last word. There's going to be a time that you take the last drink of water. There's going to be a time that you go to bed for the last time. There's going to be a time that you wake up for the last time. Now, it may not be the day of judgment. It may just be your own death. But there will be a day. There'll be a day and a time that you do these things for the last time. You may have already done some of these things for the last time. We don't know. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not, until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It's just like that. We're eating and drinking and going on from day to day. It seems the same. Just doing the same things over and over. And that's just the way that judgment day is going to be. It's going to come on us and we're going to know nothing. We're going to know nothing until it comes. And all of a sudden it's upon us. Then shall two be in the field, and the one shall be taken, and the other left.
Yes.
Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and the one shall be taken, and the other left. What does that mean? That means one's going to be taken to glory, and the other left behind. There's going to be homes like that. I believe that there's going to be churches like that. And part of the congregation, you may be right in the middle of service. And the trump may sound. And part of the congregation is going to rise to meet the Lord.
Praise God.
And the rest of them are all going to be sitting here.
Amen.
Sitting here. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. You know not what hour your Lord doth come. In your life personally, or in the judgment day, you do not know what hour. But know this. You may not know what hour he's coming, but know this. That if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched. And he would not have suffered his house to be broken into. He would have been that wise if he had known. Therefore be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Does anyone think that he's coming right now? I don't believe anybody in this room thinks he's coming right now. Right this minute? He's not coming right this minute. Nobody believes that. And that kind of a time is when he's coming. That's when he's coming. When nobody believes he's coming. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his house and gave him meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, finds so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and to drink with the drunken. You know, that's just the way we are. That is such a true picture of us. That's just the way we are. We've heard this all our lives. There's people here that's heard this all their lives.
Yes.
But the Lord has delayed his coming. He isn't here yet. He's delayed his coming. So I can go out and I can do the things of the world and I can dabble in this and dabble in that. He isn't coming yet. Isn't it something how the Lord says, be ye ready all the time because ye know not when. And the devil says, you don't have to worry. He's not coming yet. And who do we believe? Who do we believe? The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's a day coming, dear ones. There is a final day. In your life, in mine, for the world, there is a final day. You know, the Lord dealt with me another time. And I knew I had some things that I couldn't go to heaven with. I knew that. And I was struggling with them, and I wasn't sure I wanted to give them up, and I was having some struggles. And as I was driving home from church one night, I'll never forget it. I talked to the Lord all the way home. And I reasoned, and I said, well, the Lord is a merciful God. And He'll look down. He knows I want to live for Him. He knows I'm having these problems, but He knows I really want to live for Him. And I begin to reason and reason with myself that way. And I believe lots of people do that. They reason with themselves and talk about how good God is. Just to get that conviction off of them. God is so good, somehow He's going to overlook this little thing. And I was saying, oh Lord, you know, I know that you're merciful to me and you'll look upon me with compassion and all. And Lord, I know that you won't let my life be ended until I get this all straightened up. I just knew He wouldn't let me do that. And I'll never forget, as I drove up over the overpass to go home, the Lord spoke to me. And He said, I am a merciful God, but there's a day coming that I can't change for you. I can't change it for you. If you're caught in this place when that day comes, I can't change it.
Amen.
Now, He spoke that to me. And I have never forgotten it. I have never forgotten that He spoke to me. Because people today, they feel like some way, somehow, God is going to excuse.
Yes, they do.
He's so merciful. He's so good. He loves me so much. His son died for me. He knows I really want to live for him, but I have these problems. I have these trials, and I don't have faith and all these things. Somehow, we reason with ourselves that God is so good, he's going to overlook something.
Yes.
But God spoke to me, and he said, I am merciful, but there's a day that I can't change for you. I can't change it for you. You're caught in this place, and you'll perish. The Lord has been good to me. Every time that the devil has tried to deceive me along lines like this, he has been faithful to my soul. Let's turn to the 7th chapter of Matthew. The 21st verse. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. That's who's going to enter in. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord. You know, I have many, many relatives that say, Lord, Lord. But they don't do the things that he says. Lord, Lord, oh, the Lord is so good to me. And they'll cry and they'll weep, and it's so wonderful to have a Savior and have your sins forgiven and all these things. They make it sound so pretty. And their life is such a wreck. Such a wreck. But not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, I'm glad I have a Savior. I'm glad my sins are forgiven. Not all those people. They aren't going to all know. Many will say to me in that day, what day? What day are we talking about tonight? I want you to remember the thought. Days. How many days?
Yes.
In that day.
Yes.
In that day. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You may say, Lord, Lord, and you may pray, and you may go to church, and you may do a lot of things, but that doesn't mean the Lord knows you. They did these things. Do you know that? They did these things. They weren't lying here. They did these things. Lies. It's lies. There's people out there in the world today working some kind of deceiving miracles.
Yeah.
It's lies. The devil has them so bound up that they don't even understand. They say that God helps them to do things that aren't God-like at all. I remember a time that I used to do a little bit of artistic work for people to advertise in their stores. And I remember a time that this woman came up to me. She saw me painting the things on the window for the advertising, and she came up and she wanted me to come down and paint her place. And I said I would. And then she told me where she was. And what she was a poem reader. I had already said I would, and I felt compelled to go. So I went, but when I went, I said, Lord, I said, some way, get me out of this. And so I went. And I went inside, and she had a customer, and she was off back in her little room. And I went inside, and it was beautiful in there. She had white carpets and white furniture and crystal and gold. And it was just gorgeous in this little waiting room that you waited in. And I sat there, and I thought, Lord, now help me. And she came in, and she sat down. And she began to tell me what she wanted. And I thought, I knew that I could not advertise for her. And she began to tell me how that she wanted a picture of Jesus on the window. And I thought, Lord. So I said, well, she started telling me what all she wanted. And finally, she looked at, she stopped. I feel like, whether I was saying it or not, I was rebuking the devil. And she stopped, and she looked at me, and she said, there's something different about you. And I said, yes. I said, I'm saved. And she looked at me, and she said, well, she says, I can't remember if she said, I'm saved too, or I believe in Jesus too. And she began to tell me, you know, how she just believed God, you know, gave her this wonderful gift. And I sat there, and I thought, Lord, Lord, and here's people, you know, waiting to get in to see this woman.
Oh, Lord.
And the fifth chapter, the second verse. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. We won't know He's coming. There isn't going to be one saint that knows when He's coming. There isn't going to be one minister that says, next year the Lord is coming so you can have time to get ready. You know, I think sometimes people feel like that things will happen and be said by the saints that will give them warning that it's almost time.
Yes.
But there isn't going to be that.
Amen.
They've been preaching this same message from the beginning.
Yes.
The same message from the beginning.
Yes.
For when they shall say peace and safety, then shall sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Peace and safety. Lord, help us not to feel safe. We can feel, as children, we can feel so safe in our parents' home that we don't take God seriously. We can have so much confidence in their prayers that we feel like some way, somehow, they'll get us out of it. Somehow, God's going to honor their prayers and something wonderful and glorious is going to happen and everything's going to be all right. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to make that decision for yourself.
Yes.
Peace and safety. There are people all over the world searching for peace and safety. The communists feel like if we can conquer the world, we can have peace and safety. Peace and safety then. We'll have control of the whole thing. And everything will have to go our way and it'll all be peaceful and we'll be safe. Striving. Because they're not safe where they're at now. They know they're not safe. That's why they continue to try to conquer other nations, because they know that they're not safe until they can conquer it all. That's just like the devil. The devil, I believe, feels safe in numbers. And I believe the more numbers he has, the safer he feels. And he works feverishly, gathering numbers. But ye brethren, ye saints, ye children of God, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. It shouldn't overtake you as a thief. But ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Don't sleep like the others do. There are others that are out there sleeping and getting into a place of just feeling so comfortable and so restful. They do a little something to ease their conscience. Say a little something, do a little good deed. Go to church every Sunday, something to ease my conscience. Sleeping, just sleeping away their days. They haven't got many days, but they're sleeping them away. Let's turn this back to Peter. 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. Starting at the 3rd verse. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust.
Yes.
There are those today. Scoffers. Scoffers. Oh, that old fairy tale, it's not true. Scoffers. You try to live a holy life and people will just laugh at you and carry on and scoff. That's a sign of the last days. That's a sign of the last days. And not only do they scoff, but they say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. It's all the same. I've heard this story all my life. From the time I was a small child, I've heard Jesus is coming soon. He isn't here yet. Scoffers. All things are continuing just the same. The sun is the same. The moon's the same. The earth is the same. Everything is the same. For this, they willingly are ignorant of. Now, this is something they're willingly ignorant of. It's one thing to be ignorant, and it's another thing to be willingly ignorant. Willingly ignorant is, I don't want to think, I don't want to know, I won't be held responsible or accountable if I don't have this knowledge. If I pretend like I don't understand this or don't know this, people forget who God is. God is someone that knows your very thoughts and intents. He knows when you do a deed what your motives behind it are. He knows if you came in this building tonight to serve God, or if you came out of curiosity, or if you came if you were invited, or if you came to scoff. He knows. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. They forget that. They forget that. They forget that there was a day way back there that God destroyed all but Noah's family. There was a day way back there. God is faithful. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Where he once destroyed mankind with water, everything is standing today for fire. God promised he wouldn't destroy the earth again by water. He wouldn't destroy mankind that way. But it's all reserved now for fire. That's a horrible thing. I don't know anybody here that isn't afraid of fire. I believe everybody here is afraid of fire. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Do you know that in this world that we live in, people have gotten so educated, they can count so high, that it's a hindrance to believe that there's an end to it. I heard a statistic once that said, just to show you how our society, in America anyway, looks at counting, at time and space. We know that $1 million is a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And our government deals in billions of dollars. Billions of dollars. If you were to take and count to a million and count 1, 2, 3 according to the seconds on the clock, it would take you 13 days to count to a million. A billion counting the same way takes 31 years. That's the kind of age we're living in. It's so big. It's so vast. It's so unending. I heard just the other day that they came up with a new, and I don't even understand mathematics, but some kind of a new base number. The biggest number they've ever had. Is it any wonder that people can't hardly bring themselves down to the fact that there's an end to anything? When everything is getting bigger and expanding and knowledge is getting so... It's a trick of the enemy to get your mind so engrossed and expanded that it can't even comprehend an end, a last day, a last second, a last minute. You can't even comprehend that. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. He's eternal. He doesn't even count time. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slack. No doubt there's people that count it slack. Oh, I've heard this all my life. It hasn't happened yet. Just slack. Think, oh, it is never going to happen. But He wants you to know one thing, that it's not His slackness. It's because He's long-suffering to us for it. He's not willing that any should perish. That's why He picked a day out there in the future. And that's why He doesn't tell us when that day is. And that's why not even Jesus knows. Jesus is pleading for our souls just as if it was the last day, because He doesn't know. He doesn't know. But He's pleading for our souls as if it's the last day every day we live, because He Himself does not know. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not slack. He's wanting you to come. He's wanting you to give your heart to Him before the last day overtakes you.
Yes, Lord.
I want to relate the experience that I had when I got saved. This next verse means a lot to me. I had always been brought down to church, and I always had a tender spot for God. And whenever I got into trouble, even though I was a sinner, I called to God to help me out. And things had gotten so bad in my life, I didn't count myself a gross sinner. I can't tell you today that I came to the Lord because I counted myself a gross sinner. But my life was so miserable. It was so miserable that I could not stand it. And I was in touch with some of the saints, and they were constantly pointing me to the Lord. Whenever I would go to them with a problem, they would say, "Well, I don't know what to tell you, but the Lord knows how to handle it." Well, one night, I had a dream, and I was standing outside, and it was nighttime. It was nighttime. And I had the thought in my mind, when I was seeking and pondering getting saved, I wanted my husband saved. I wanted my husband to be saved first. I didn't want to suffer. I didn't want to bear it alone. I wanted my husband saved first, and then the thought in my mind was, and then he can help me. Well, I was in my dream, I was standing outside, and I was standing with my husband. And all at once, the heavens began to boil. That's all I can describe. They began to boil, and the planets and the moon began to explode. And they began to land in great big chunks all around us. And I thought to myself, this is it. This is the last day, and I'm not ready. I'm not ready. And the horrible sinking, forever lost feeling that overtook me in that dream was indescribable. And I want to tell you, I never thought about him. He was standing there with me in the dream, and it didn't make any difference. I didn't care. I didn't care that he was there. And when I woke up from that dream, I couldn't sleep. The rest of the night, I was shaking. I couldn't sleep. And the next night, I didn't even want to go to bed because I was scared.
Yes.
But you know how time has a way of making you forget.
Yes.
I know there's been lots of people in here that have sat under messages before that made you fear and quake and think you better get ready. But you walked out and you got out there and you got with your friends and you started doing the same old things and eating and drinking and being merry, and pretty soon you didn't feel fearful anymore. Well, that's what happened to me.
Yeah.
And it was still, my life was still miserable. And pretty soon, I would say that it was a month later. If I could have written down the days, I believe that it was almost exactly a month later. I had another dream. And my husband and I were standing out in the hills. And in the distance, way in the distance, when we were in high school, we had seen what an atomic explosion looks like. And that's what happened out there in the distance. A big, huge atomic explosion. And I had been taught that if you're within close enough, it just annihilates things. And I said, this is it. This is the last. And that horrible, awful, sinking, lost forever came over me. And he was standing right there with me, and I didn't even care. And when I woke up from that dream, I was scared. Oh, I was scared. But time took it all away, just like the first time. The Lord was merciful to me, I'm going to tell you right now. Not everybody has God deal with him the way that he dealt with me. A month later, I had the last dream. And in that dream, I was standing outside with my husband again. He was in every dream. The Lord was trying to get something over to me. He was standing there. And you know how you can look on all the horizons and you see the mountains? You can stand in the country and you see the mountains on all the horizons where the sky meets the mountains. You see all that on the horizons. There was nothing but walls of fire. All around, nothing but walls of fire. And that same horrible sinking forever. No chance. Too late. Came over me, and it sunk me down, and I thought, oh God, it's too late. And I didn't care that he was standing there with me. It didn't make any difference. When I woke up from that dream, I was so scared. Oh, I was so scared. And within just a couple of days, I gave my heart to the Lord.
Thank the Lord.
And the Lord came in and flooded my soul with peace, and I wasn't afraid anymore. So I began to question the saints. What's the end of time like? Because I didn't know. And so one of the brothers told me to read this verse, this next verse I'm going to read. The 10th verse of the 3rd chapter of 2 Peter. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And my first dream, see, was at night. In which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. That's just exactly what happened in my dream. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And my second dream was heat. Heat was going to overtake us. And the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Burned up. And my third dream was burning up. I believe I saw a lot of what's going to happen. I believe it with my whole heart. I believe I saw and I felt, I know I felt what people are going to feel. I know that. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Wherefore, now let's go down to the 15th. Now let's read the 14th. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, do you believe this tonight? I hope God painted a picture in your mind. I hope he came over you just like he came over me with a dream and helps you to feel the panic that you're going to feel at that last day, the panic that's going to overtake you. Do you believe these things? Seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace without spot and blameness. Saints, be diligent. That you be found without spot and blameless. There's a day coming that the saints are going to be judged. Not just the sinners. The saints themselves are going to be judged. And I believe that there's going to be some saints that have let a spot get on there. Have never taken care of it. Never gotten it out of the way. And they're going to come up short. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Just remember this all this time that he's been letting the world go on. That's our salvation. If he'd have let it in a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, if it would have ended, where would we all be? Would all of us be saved tonight that are saved? Just count it your salvation that you still have time.
Yes.
That's your only hope, is the fact that you still have time.
Yes. Yes.
Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. We're not the first one to tell you this. We won't be the last unless your day comes. If your day comes, this may be the last time you ever hear this message. The judgment day may not come. And it may. But your last day is coming. As an individual, how long can you last? Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Be led away. You know that little story that the sister told the other night about the Judas goat? That's just the way it is. People just following other people. They think that the other people know where they're going, and they don't know where they're going either. And we just follow and follow and follow.
Amen.
2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, the 2nd verse. I have some good news for you tonight. I have some good news. In the midst of all the horribleness I hope I've painted in your mind, I have some good news for you. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee.
Yeah.
Behold, now is the accepted time.
Yeah.
Behold, now is the day of salvation. I hope someone will let this day be their day of salvation. I hope someone that's backslidden will let this day be their day of renewing. I hope someone that has spots on their garments will let this day be the day that they get thoroughly clean. Because we don't know when the last day is coming. You know, the writing up on the board behind us says Jesus is coming. But I want to ask you this. If Jesus is coming, what day are you leaving? What day are you leaving? He's coming on his day. What day are you leaving? Because you will leave. You'll leave this world. Lord, help tonight.